Hi, and welcome to the View Church Table View Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. You're listening to a message from Donovan Kutsia.
Amen. So good to be here. I do enjoy coming to Table View. My wife and I like to watch the sunset. We just park there and watch the sunset. Won't tell you what we do while we're watching the sunset, but we just watch the sunset. It's so fantastic. And you got to come to Table View to watch the sunset. You can't watch the sunset from Durbanville. But in Durbanville, you got the stuff growing that you can bring with you to the sunset. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay, there we go. Fantastic. Always enjoy preaching at one of the View churches, not just Table View. This year, I've already been in three of your congregations. And next week, I'll be in the fourth one. Isn't that wonderful? With Dino and Kelly. And great to see what God's doing. So, you know, when I see that happen, I think, where's next? There's always got to be next. There's a next. Where's next? Where's the next one? Where's the next step? Where are we going next after? Anyway, I've been asked to speak on this concept of, or this idea of forever free. I love it, to be forever free. It's a fantastic thing. Not just free for a week or for a day or for a moment, but to be forever free. That is a fantastic thing. And so the key text that's been chosen, that Andre mentioned to me, was John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. It says this: to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can't just be free. You can't just say, well, you know, it's okay, I'll give my heart to Jesus, then I'll be free. No, no, it says more than that. It says you need to believe, you need to hold to the teaching, and become a disciple. So what we see from this portion of Scripture is that freedom and discipleship are intricately woven together. You can't have one without the other. If you want to be free, you need to be a disciple. If you are a disciple, you will live in freedom. It's not just being what they would call in Afrikaans a lost donkey, a lost looper. You know, it's okay. It's just, you know, I'll check in with Jesus when I need an answer. Or Jesus is my lucky dip. Or I'll just put my finger here in the Bible and pull out a verse. Or I'll come to church when I feel like it. Or no, it doesn't work like that. Jesus says you have to believe in him. You have to hold on to his teaching, and you have to become a disciple. And the key thing that we see in this portion is that when you believe, it's not just believing, it's hold to my teaching. And so that's just a crucial thing about finding freedom. We need to hold to the teaching of Jesus. So let's have a look at how that kind of unravels in this portion of Scripture. So number one, we need to understand that freedom is through discipleship, and discipleship begins with belief. We have to believe. Number one, we have to believe in Jesus, and secondly, we have to believe in his word. It's so important for us to understand. This is exactly what John said in John chapter 6, and you need to understand that John says this after 5,000 people have walked away. 5,000 people had a once-off. 5,000 people got fed bread. 5,000 people enjoyed the moment. And then he said to them, hang on a second, you can't just have a moment. You got to commit to me. You got to live in me. You got to hold on to me. You have to follow me. They said, no, we're not prepared for that. And they left. And then he turns to his disciples that are left behind, the 12, and he says to them, are you also going to leave me now? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You, and some translations use the word alone, you alone have the words of eternal life. So what he's saying is, what's the point of leaving? We believe you, but we leave in your word. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So what Peter's actually saying here is, we believe in you, and we believe the words that you speak. So belief is believing in Jesus, and it's believing in his word. And you cannot separate the two. It's very important for us to understand that. So to be free isn't just to accept Jesus. It's to really believe who Jesus is, and it's to believe what his word says, and it is to hold on to that word. So put it in this phrase. Discipleship is about continuing and remaining in the word. See, everybody wants a quick fix. We live in the world of quick fix. We live in the world of express and instant, quick. And so we go, I need help. I'll just come to the front. That's good. If you need help, come to the front. I'll just go to the front and get a prayer. You need help. You come to the front. You get a prayer. But it doesn't end there. It only begins there. And some people think, I'll just get the magic wand experience. I'll get the guru preacher to pray for me. I'll get the conference God to minister to me. I'll get the stand camp speaker to iron me out. And you come away from the camp and you come away from the conference and you think, how come this isn't lasting? Because it doesn't happen in a moment. To be forever free is to continue and remain in the Word. Now, quickly, how do we do that? Number one, we do that by hearing or by listening. Now, you know what? People who listen don't always hear, or people who hear don't always listen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All women should understand that phrase. My wife will be here tonight for an interview. Ask her the hard questions about me. I don't mind. We've been married for 46 years. I can take it. But you know what it's like? You're driving in the car and she's talking. I mean, she talks, eh? I mean, and she's not different to any other woman in this room. It's detail, 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 detail. Men, summarize, 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 summarize. It ends up with a sword. And so she gives me this long story, and then she says, what do you think? Woman, have you not learned? You must never do that. And then I go, just run that by me again. And she says, do you mean I've spent all this time talking to you, you haven't been listening to me? And automatically, being a good Christian, I lie. It's easier to get forgiveness from Jesus than to deal with my offended wife. Amen. He always forgives. It says so in the Bible. Okay. Okay. Permission is not important. Forgiveness. So here's the deal. You know, we don't always hear. We don't always listen. We're not always paying attention. And this is what's important. We need to start, number one, with hearing, with listening to the Word. Why? Because Romans 10, Paul writes to us and he says to us in verse 70, faith comes out. Faith doesn't happen. Faith isn't dropped like, you know, let's do this airdrop. Let's do a Dropbox. Let's quickly send it over. Boom it. No, faith comes. It's in the continuous present. It keeps coming. The more you hear, the more you believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message preached about Christ. You need to be in church. Just because he wants you here, just because he wants to quote numbers, absolutely not. That is absolutely shallow. You and I need to be in church. Why? Because the Word is preached here. And the more we sit under the Word, the more we hear the Word, the more we listen to the Word, the more faith is able to come. And we're not only hearing the Word here in isolation, we're hearing the Word here in an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere here, an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of worship. There's lots of declaration taking place. We declare things in the songs we sing. There's a posture. There's a leaning in. Jesus is here, different to when he's with you on your own. Why would Jesus say, when two or three are gathered together, there I am? When it makes any difference to where you're on your own, he is. Jesus is here in a special way when two or three gather together. I need to hear the Word. I need to listen to the Word. Why? Because faith comes. And what does faith do? Faith helps me to live in freedom. It helps me to believe the Word of God. Secondly, we need to learn. We need to study. I started studying and learning from a young age as a Christian. The first Christmas present I got after being saved was a Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. Moroccan leather. When you hold it, it just flops. You see, we don't preach with Bibles. You used to be able to just hold it like it flops open. It's their posture. But you see, you need to learn how to study. Paul writes to the young man, Timothy, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Some translations say, study to show yourself approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Who correctly divide, who can divide. Now, that is a masonry term. You see, in those days when they designed buildings, architects, when they designed the building, they didn't use bricks like we use. They used massive building blocks, stones, granite that were mined in a quarry. And so what the architect would do, he would draw the building, and every single block had a number. And that plan was taken down to the quarry. And the stonemason would then cut out blocks of stone according to the specifications listed by the architect. It had to be exact. And then what happened was that stone was taken to the building site. No stones were cut on the building site. The stones were taken to the building site, and then the builders simply built by numbers. The architect's number, he took the number of the stone, it was chiseled into the stone, and he would fit it together, and in that way the building would take shape. However, if the stonemason didn't cut a stone accurately or properly, when it got to the building site, the builder wouldn't be able to fit the stone where it should go. And then the stonemason would be ashamed because he hadn't correctly divided the stone. And God's word is our quarry. We go there to mine. We go there to fetch the building blocks that our lives need to keep us in freedom. Not random thoughts. Proper mind cut out masoned building blocks that God gives to you and to me. Can I get an amen? So you and I need that. And if you know what? When that gets put together, when my life gets built together like that, I'm not ashamed. Why? Because they fit perfectly and I live in perfect freedom. Praise God. You see, when you and I read the word, we don't actually read the word. The word reads us. We become the subject. Willie Burton, who was an old Congolese missionary from the UK, was going through customs one day, and they said to him, "Do you have anything to declare?" He said, "A camera." They said, "Can we see it, please?" And he gave them his Bible. It's a true story. And they said to him, "This is not a camera. This is a Bible." He said, "Really, would you like me to show you some pictures of yourself?" The Bible's full of pictures of who we are, of who God designed us to be. And we find God's purpose and we live in freedom by mining those blocks into our lives. Can I get an amen? Number three, the third thing about the word is this, that we continue and remain in the word by memorizing and meditating on it. Now, in the old days, we had the King James Version. So for you, all you old chaps out there, go, "Oh yes, praise God, forget it. People don't understand that version anymore, okay? That's not the English people get. God doesn't even understand it anymore, you understand?" So, but it's easy to memorize because it's poetic. So in those days, it was easy for us to, we could memorize verse, scripture, chapter and verse, scripture, chapter and verse. But memorizing the word is so important. We need to commit some of scripture to memory because it's good for us. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart." I haven't just read your word, I have hidden your word. I really struggle to live for God. I really struggle to live in total freedom. I really struggle to live a completely victorious life. It's not the easiest thing in the world. I find myself in all kinds of situations bring out the worst in me. So I need to be committed to the word. And so at the moment, I'm going through a process where this year, I've committed myself to reading 5 Psalms and 1 chapter of Proverbs every single day. So I will read through the book of Psalms 12 times and the book of Proverbs 12 times this year. And every couple of months, I'll get a day off from Psalms because it's 31 days and there's 150 Psalms. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get a calculator. But why am I doing that? Because I want that word to wash over me. I want that word to be embedded. I want some stuff to stick in my heart so that when I need it, it's there. You see, Jesus tempted in the wilderness of the devil. The devil comes to him. He doesn't say, "Hang on a second. I need to check that in my concordance. I need to see. I need to get my Bible app out. I need to get the U Bible or the Bible Gateway app or the Olive Tree app. I need to get it quick. Let me. No, he didn't. He said, "It is written." How did he know it is written? Because the word of God was hid in his heart. And if you and I want to live in freedom, we need to hide that word here. We need to learn it off by... Yeah, not off by head. You don't learn your tables off by head. You learn, you're committed to memory, you're committed to heart. So we need to hide it in our... And then we need to move on from there. We need to move to meditation. The book of Joshua, God speaks to Joshua. He says to him in Joshua 1, 7 and 8, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it, to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Praise God. So, first of all, it's got to be my heart. I've got to commit it to memory. Only when it's committed to memory can I meditate. Now that word meditate is actually an animal word. It means regurgitate. It means you need to put it down and you need to pull it up. Now, when you're young, you don't know what that means because you haven't got heartburn yet. When you get older, you need to sleep with a Gaviscon. You know, when you interview Patricia tonight, ask her what's next to her bed. Gaviscon. Glug, 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 glug. But regurgitating means it's to pull it up. That's what cows do. They got more than one stomach. They pull it up, they chew it, they put it back. They pull it up, they chew it. Why? Because you're meditating on it. You're digesting it. You're chewing on it. If you and I want to live in freedom and continue in the Word, we need to hear it, we need to study it, we need to memorize it, and we need to meditate on it. God, help me to be able to live in the Word like that. That is what will help me stay free and be free in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? So we've got to stay in the Word. And lastly, to be able to do that, you and I need to learn how to do the Word, obey the Word. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, very quickly, hearing the Word's not enough. Quoting the Word's not enough. Memorizing the Word's not enough. Doing the words is what's important. You see, this is an incredible story that Jesus is telling. He says there are two people, they're both builders, they both build a house, they both use the same material. The only difference is the foundation. The one builds on a rock, the one builds on sand. They both face the storm and the flood. And I got news for you, you will face the storm, you will face the flood. And we have the Word, every one of us as well. The only difference is the foundation. The one who had a rock, the one built on a rock, and the one built on sand. Now, the one who built on a rock, when the storm came, his house stood firm. But the one who built on sand, when the storm came, his house got washed away. And Jesus says, the one who builds his house on the rock is like someone who hears the Word and does it. But the one who builds on sand is like, hears the Word and does nothing about it. So you have an option. And I have an option. If we want our house to stand and we want to live in freedom, then we need to build on the rock. And the only way to build on the rock is to do what the Word of God says. How many of you know that's difficult? It's very difficult. You know, when your husband is freaking you out, not if, when, underline, or when she is freaking you, you know, it's that beautiful thing you married, and you say, how dare he call her a thing? The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And by the way, if you want your marriage to last, stock the fridge up with Coke, because things go better with Coke. Amen. Anyway, so when she freaks you out, not when he freaks, and you look at her and you think, you know, I'd love to slap your face right off. But then you've committed to memory. Husbands, love your wives. You go, this thing, tomorrow. I need some amens in the house here this morning. I'm simply illustrating that all of us face the same issues. It's not easy to do the Word. But only when you do it, when you don't neglect it, will you and I see growth and we will see freedom. James writes the same thing. He says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, this is an important portion of Scripture. We would all have agreed with this if it said she. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know what? When we look into the Word, as I said, the Word reads us. We can't go away forgetting what we've read. No one looks at a mirror. Now, you know, Andre spoke about me coming from behind the Boerewors curtain over there, by the Boerkies, by Durbanville. There we have an expression to say, you had klafitana. You know what's klafitana? I'm going to educate you, mob here, over the coast. Klafitana is when you eat something and a black thing sticks here in your tooth, you know? It's white note, black note, white. It's klafitana. They're just there in your mouth. You understand? You people are very uncivil. You know what? You people are not real Cape Townians. Most of you people have come from somewhere else who live here on the side of the... Table View is a new developer. You don't even know who David Cramer is. Can I get an amen? Who's David Cramer? You don't know. Dave, one of my favorite songs is Macy Sona Sokis. Bokki, ek wil hier vir jou jokkie. Maar my hart klop soos 'n tokkie. En soos 'n bicycle sonder 'n klokkie. En 'n lollipop sonder 'n stokkie. It's amazing and so na sokies. Come on, give it up for David Cramer. Amen. There you go. Okay. Oh, I've got to hurry up. But we need to learn how to do the word of God, not look at ourselves and forget what we look like. How stupid can you be? Look at yourself and go, I'm not going to worry about that. Now we need to do something about it. Amen. We need to move on very quickly. Discipleship or freedom issues in truth. To know Jesus is to know truth. Why? Because truth is not a theory. Truth is not a philosophy. Truth is a person. When you and I know Jesus, we know truth. There's no shadow of turning in him. There's no change of opinion in him. He is absolute. He never gets it wrong. He is truth. He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He has no equal. He has no rival. We sing that song. What a wonderful name. He has no rival. He has no equal. Unapologetically, we say he has no rival. He has no equal. He alone is the way to God. He is the truth. He leads us in truth. He gives us truth. He is the only truth. But you know what? It's more than just knowing him as the way to heaven. It's more than that. It's more than just the way to heaven. It's the real truth of everyday life, Daniel. What's the point of just knowing the truth to get to heaven, knowing Jesus to get to heaven? No, you and I need to know Jesus for the now, for the everyday, for when I wake up in the morning, for when I face issues. It's about what matters in life. He is the truth. He determines our values and our priorities. Whether we like it or not, those are our values. People say to me, do you believe in abortion? I say, I believe in life. You see, I want to just answer a simple question like that. Because Christians can be quick to say, well, what about abortion? And I say, and what about the person living down the road from you? A lady who works for me. She's got 3 children from 3 men. She's pregnant again. Her husband... The partner finds out she's pregnant. He's run off with a young woman. Left her. Driving in the car the other day, taking her home from work, she says to me, Pastor, I went to the hospital to get an abortion. They said it's too late. I looked at her, I said, why do you want to get an abortion? She said, because I don't know how I'm going to cope. And us high and mighty people can say, yeah, you can't. How am I going to cope? What do you need to cope with? I need rent for the end of the month. How much? How much? I've got a lay-by at Ackerman's for the baby. I had to find out what that meant. No, I'm being honest. How much? Do we only worry about the child in the womb and not about the one outside the womb? We need to be challenged on some of these things. You see, my values, my priorities, my decisions, my behavior, everything is determined by how I live with the truth. Jesus tells me how to decide about people. Jesus tells me what to say about people. Jesus tells me how to relate to people. Jesus tells me where I should live. You see, we got people who will move at the drop of a hat because they get a job that offers them much more money. They don't ask, is there a church there? They don't ask, is it good for my children over there? The truth helps us in every single one of these ways. Amen. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you and I follow Jesus, we never walk in darkness. Every area of our life, not just the way to heaven, but every area of our lives. Amen. And then the last point is that discipleship or following Jesus results in freedom. Now, this is an important one. It results in freedom. I struggle with this. This is not just a pre-saved statement. Quickly, Paul writes, he says, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Can I get an amen? For in my, amen? You just drive your car and see who's sitting next to you. Evil. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. You see, you're not free. Making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ the Lord. You know, I want to be good. I want to do good. I'm faced with sin. I look at it and I go, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. But I do it. And I go, what a wretched person I am. I don't know about you, but I feel absolutely wretched. Because I didn't just sin on a whim. I sinned after thinking about it. And then I feel terrible. And I almost feel like saying to God, I don't know how I can ask you for forgiveness again. I'm just so bad. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. In Christ Jesus, there is deliverance and there is freedom. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Praise God. Jesus came to set us free from the body of sin and death, the carnal nature. As I close, this is what it says in Galatians. Paul writes to them and says to them, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What's he saying? You know what he's saying to these Jewish people? You used to trust in rules and regulations and a religious system to make you right with God. You made a big mistake. Jesus came to set you free from all of that. But you know, all of us, we come to Jesus, we put our hands up, we give our hearts to Jesus. We believe that Jesus comes to save us. And the minute we've done that, we go straight back to rules and regulations. We go straight back to making sure that we please God with all kinds of things. You and I cannot do anything to earn the favor of God. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. Yet you gave your life away. You will kick down every wall to get to me, to save me, because you love me. You will leave the 99, not because I'm good, but because you love me. And we need to understand that it is grace and grace alone that saves us. This year is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The Reformation is based, and we are part of the Reformation, is based on what is known as the five solas. It's the sola of Scripture, the sola of faith, the sola of grace, the sola of Jesus alone, and the sola of living to the glory of God. What does that mean? You and I can do absolutely nothing. We need to understand that. We need to be living in the freedom of the fact that He did it all, and we can do nothing or add nothing to what He has done except to live in Him. It's very important to get that. But you see, people who preach hyper grace fall into a trap. Let me show you what it is, the trap that they fall into. He goes on to say after Galatians 5:1, further on in the chapter, verse 13, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Some people say it's okay. You know what? I can do nothing to please God, therefore I can do as I please. Absolutely not. You and I have been set free to live for God, not for the flesh. You and I have been set free to live in Him, not apart from Him. We are no longer in slavery. Can I get an amen? I am forever free when I continue in my relationship with Him. Constantly in fellowship with Him, remaining in Him. You see, it's Jesus, it's belief, the truth, the word, the truth, and freedom. And it starts off by knowing Jesus. And our text, as we read it at the beginning, said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And later on in the chapter, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Can I get an amen? Can I ask you to bow your head with me quickly as you're sitting there? Right now, I don't know what it is that you need to be set free from. I don't know if you're continuing. I don't know if you're struggling to get into the Word, to read the Word. I don't know if you're struggling with the stuff that helps you. I don't know if you are trying to find a method of rules and regulations and liturgies to help you make it, instead of just simply resting and remaining in Jesus. Now, I don't know where you're at right now in your walk as a human being. But if you're this morning, you say to me, Donovan, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the truth. I do believe Him. I want to know His word. I want to be set free. I want Jesus to do something in my life. I want to begin a journey. I want to remain and continue in Him. That is my decision. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Donovan, will you pray for me? I want to pray for you. You say, please pray for me. I want to continue in Jesus and in His word. I want to be His disciple. Quickly, where you are, slip your hand up so I can see it, and I want to pray for you this morning in the service. If that's you, wherever you are sitting, God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Someone else, you just slip your hand up. God bless you over there. Someone else, God bless you over there. Is there someone else? You say, Donovan, it's me. God bless you over there. Someone else, God bless you over there. Fantastic. Someone else, quickly, I want to pray for you before we close this meeting. You say, I want to know Jesus. I want to live in freedom. I want to be delivered. Thank you. God bless you over there. I want to be delivered from this body of death that's stronger than me, bigger than me, that overpowers me. I need to be set free. Is there someone else in the meeting? Quickly, before we pray, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for each one who put their hands up. I thank you for each one who said yes. I thank you for each one who acknowledged in their hearts very clearly that they believe you, that they believe you're the Son of God, that you paid the price for their freedom, and that they accept it now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's continue to worship as a hand.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.